489 in the white.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, forever waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on
this morning. Let's remember all those that we've been praying for. Continue to pray for Mom. She does still have her drains and is going back to the doctor tomorrow to see if they can take those out. So keep her in your prayers. And Dad, keep both of them in your prayers, please. And also remember the Bill Ham family. Bill Ham passed away yesterday. He's my great uncle, or my uncle, married to my Aunt Mabel. And he had a pneumonia. And it led to a heart attack, and he passed away there at the hospital. So keep them in your prayers and keep the families. There's been many that have passed away here just recently. Many families are bereaved this morning. So let's keep all them in our prayers. Remember all the sick. Remember our country. Remember our men and women in armed services everywhere, that God would protect them, watch over them, and lead our nation back to following God, our people in power. Any other prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer? Amen. So let's remember the Virginia Hendricks family, and we're thankful that they had a safe trip. Let's remember Phil this morning. Tate. Let's remember Tate. I thought he said Dad. All right. Let's remember Tate this morning. So let's remember Darlene Poe. Amen. So let's keep Jamie's mother in our prayers with her diverticulitis and fatty liver. So let's remember this. Yes, let's remember the Doris Bedsall family as well. She passed away. And remember Mitzi. We're thankful that Teresa got good news and that her cancer's not come back, so we're thankful for that. So continue to remember Teresa also in your prayers. Yeah. Sandra, who was that other lady that passed away? Kathy Storms. Kathy Storms. 46 years old. So let's remember her family in our prayers as well. Jacob Hill family. Okay. So let's remember this family also. So let's remember Pat and Edwin's mothers and David Lambert. Still continue to remember him. Dorothy Krause. So let's remember this. Also, was there a Betty Krause? She passed away. So remember the Betty Krause family also. Anyone else? Amen. So let's remember this and continue to pray for her that she's there in governor school. It's good to have her home for the weekend. Anyone else? Prayer request. Yes, do remember. Do remember Jimmy and Kathleen Ham's baby. They are trying to wean her off the oxygen. And once they do that, she has to stay about 2 or 3 days, and then she'll be able to go home. So good to keep them in your prayers. Helena. Anyone else? Remember Shirley and Carl and Raymond Smith. Mabel Black. Let's remember this. And also, I believe, Buck Moxley. Let's remember Mr. Ford. Anyone else? By an uplifted hand. Anyone that can and will, please come to the altar for prayer. Dustin, would you lead us in prayer this morning, please, sir? Amen. Okay. Y'all pray for the choir and pray for their leader today. All right. I don't know what key we done it in, but we'll just do it. 51 in the red book.
My country tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims cry, from every mountainside, let freedom.
He sent me free.
Bud, would you ask a blessing on the offering this morning?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us back safely to the church once more. Our Heavenly Father, will you bless the ones that are sick? There are so many on the prayer list this morning. Our Heavenly Father, will you go with us? And as we go day to day, we thank you so much for the help that you give us all. Our Heavenly Father, will you bless this offering to build in thy kingdom?
Amen. It's good to have some folks visiting with us today, but don't let yourself be a visitor. Make yourself right at home in God's house. We appreciate you being here with us, and we appreciate the Lord for bringing you here. And we just pray that we can be a blessing to you and you to us. In just a few moments, we're going to have people be introducing themselves maybe and shaking hands with you, we hope. And making you feel welcome to church. We just thank the Lord that he's given us a place to come to worship this morning. Remember our Vacation Bible School, which will be starting next Sunday night, July the 13th. How could I get this confused with January? July the 13th, one of them J months, I guess. So could have been June. But anyway, July 13th through the 18th, and we're looking forward to that. Our Vacation Bible School, so be much in prayer. Come out and be with us if you can. We plan on having the Honor Guard from Allegheny County coming and presenting the colors on the opening night. So be here and to see those guys and what we do. We appreciate them going to come and be with us on that day. So be much in prayer for our Vacation Bible School that's coming up. Remember also the tables that are in the fellowship hall. If you'd like to purchase a couple of those, put your names on those and see one of the deacons or myself and give us the money for those, and you'll be ready to get those out. But do put your names on them. There are some names that's already on some of the tables down there that already have been picked out, so those are off the market. But there's six that's up in one of the Sunday school classes there, the old fellowship hall. Those are going to be kept for Vacation Bible School use, so those are also off limits. So any of the rest of them, you're free to feel like purchasing that's down there. All right, everyone stand to your feet. Welcome each other to church this morning. Good morning, little bit.
How are you, honey?
How are you, honey? All right, let's start making our way back to our seats, please. Well, did anybody go see the parade yesterday? I tell you what, I'm glad I didn't have on the other uniform that was black with the black coat, because my earlobes was sweating by the time I got to Halsey's. And I hadn't walked that far. And Janice said, if you walk like that every day, said you wouldn't be the little fat man in the white shirt. If I walk like that every day, I probably wouldn't exist any longer. And somebody said, was that a real axe? Yes, it was a real axe, and it was really heavy by the time we got to the end. But anyway, I thank God for that opportunity, and we honored our veterans before we started the parade. And it was it was an humbling experience to look into their eyes as we're standing there at attention to honor them and to just wonder what their eyes have seen and what they have done in their service to this country and the blessing that they are still here to be able to give them some honor for the things and what they had to do in defense of this country. And I just appreciate them very much. Give me the liberty to be able to stand here today by protecting America and guaranteeing our constitutional freedoms to worship God as we see fit and to worship him in spirit and in truth. This morning, before I ask Beverly to come and sing, in honor of our country and our fighting men and women that have served, I'd ask you to please stand and let's do the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag this morning. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Thank you very much for your participation. I think it's an honor and a privilege that God has granted us that we're able to do that this morning. This time we'll ask Beverly if she would please come and sing for us this morning. And it's a blessing to have them here with us this morning and all of our visitors that come. I said our visitors, but they're just our long-distance family that just have to travel 5 hours to get here for church service. So I'm going to... Well, I wasn't going to go that far, but they are. But anyway, you know, God was God was better to us folks in the mountains. You know why? He turned our land up on its side so we can use both sides of it and not just one. So he was just a little bit better to us people here in the mountains. And give us animals with legs longer on one side than they are the other so they can walk around and all that. So, but anyway, it's good to have them with us this morning. Good to have Beverly still saying.
Thank you.
The red one, guys.
I never know what's going to happen because I never get to practice here. So whatever. Lord, take care of it. When they drove the nails in his hands, I wasn't there to hear them mock his holy name. I wasn't there when they placed the thorn. See our Savior as he hung and died in shame. I'll be there when they crown him King of Glory. I'll be there when they sing redemption song. I'll be there with the saints of every nation as they stand before the King upon when they brought his body down. I wasn't there to see the tomb they laid him in. I wasn't there when that third day
I thank God I can tell you that I'll be there. I pray that you can say the same today, that you'll be there when He calls us home as His children. And this morning, as we think about liberty, as we think about independence, as we declared our independence a long time ago from a land that was trying to dictate to people how they could worship and the things, and they wanted a different life, and they set out to give a different life for their people and being able to worship God. And today, as we come before God and His throne, as we celebrate our independence from the motherland there of England, that we should thank God for the independence that He gives us, that we're no longer in bondage if we're saved, that we are set free from that bondage that Satan tries to keep us under. And thank God we don't have to serve that bondage. But there comes a time when there's time to make a choice. America is at that time that there's time to make a choice. As we make a pledge of allegiance that we say one nation under God. We know all nations are under God. But it's time that we get back under His control. It's time that we as men step out of the way and let God back in charge of America. That we let God back in charge of our churches. That we let God back in charge of our homes and put Him first. And as we read in God's Word, as we read about Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18, as we see as he made a choice to stand when God sent him to Ahab and told him that it was not rain upon the earth until time that God said. And as God sent him away from Ahab, spent his time away at the brook, as he was fed there by the birds and was brought and fed, given water and brought meat and bread to eat. As he spent his time there, and then the brook dried up, he sent him to the widow lady there, had just enough meal, enough oil to make a cake of bread for her and her son and to die. She'd gathered two sticks. And out of that, he told her, he said, because of God commanded him, he said, look, lady, that's fine. You do what you have to do, but first make me a cake and bring me some water. And she did so, and by her obedience, the flour never run dry and the oil never run out until it rained upon the earth, just as Elijah had promised her, because God had gave the command. He was setting this up to be a blessing that we can look at today, that we can make a choice, we can make a decision on who we're going to serve. And that we won't be in trouble, that we won't have the heartaches that we've been having in America, that we won't have the flooding in one place where crops are being grown and the winds that's blowing them down and the things that's happening. Won't have the wildfires that are burning up the forest and different things that's going on. Won't have the drought in places and the ground being parched, because even where we live is trying to tell us, look, we're out of balance with God and we need to make a choice today who we're going to serve, whether we're going to serve God or whether we're going to go along with Satan and continue following him. First Kings chapter 18, verse 17, it says, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that trouble Israel? Let me tell you today, it's never been the person or the man of God that has stood and tried to tell Israel what God has said that has troubled Israel. What has been Israel's problem is their disobedience and not following the Lord God Jehovah that came in the form of a babe who was born in Bethlehem, who took on the robe of flesh to be your kinsman and my kinsman to pay my sin debt, that he would know what we're going through. But let me tell you, their problem is they become a stiff-necked people who won't humble down and realize that their Messiah has already been here, already walked upon this earth. But here Ahab was wanting to know if Elijah was the one that troubled Israel. It wasn't because of Elijah that the rains weren't coming. It was because of their sin and disobedience. Is there any reason why that we shouldn't have the showers of blessings from God today, other than we are a sinful nation? We've turned our back on God and still expect to get blessed. It don't work that way. We need to be as Elijah and make a choice today who we're going to serve, and we need some people that's willing to stand up and say to our people that's in power and leadership, today is the day that we need to choose to follow God and quit following this nonsense that you've been trying to lead us down and say there is no God. We need God back in our homes. We need God back in our church. We need God back in this world like we've never had Him before. And He's willing and ready and standing waiting for someone to call out and say, I need you, Jesus. We need you today. We need you today. And He answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Let me tell you something. In America today, we have freedom of religion to worship any way that we feel that we want to. But that does not mean that Christians have to be silent and let everybody else have their say. Today is the day that we need to stand up and regain our Christian voice in this world and let them know that there is a God in America. There is a God in Israel. There is a God all over this world. If we'll only recognize His power and recognize His supreme authority over our lives, how much better off we'll be. But we're following Balaam this morning. We're worried about all the things being politically correct. Now let me tell you something. Some things probably need cleaning up and dressing up a little bit, but still sin is sin. Right is right, wrong is wrong, and you can't paint that any other color. God said, and that settles it. We don't have to paint it any other thing and call it something else. But we have got to follow God. We try to please everybody. We don't want anybody offended, so we don't tell them the truth. And it's time that the truth come forward. We're following Balaam in America more than we're following Christ. We may be a Christian nation, but it's only by lip service. It's not by foot action. It's not by putting the rubber where it meets the road and getting out and visiting and inviting people into the house of God. How many have been to Walmart when they have a sale? It's elbow to elbow and cart to cart. And it's dangerous if you was to fall down, you get run over and trampled. But where are they at in the churches today? Unfortunately, they're down at Walmart. Now, I'm not preaching against Walmart. It could be in Kmart, it could be Target, it can be any of them stores. They could be walking around the mall. You go down there. If we had a church down there, go to the mall. Start preaching down there in the mall. You get more people that's going to be there than they'll come out to the church. They have no respect for the house of God anymore. And why? Because Christians, we have lost our respect for the house of God. We've got to make a choice on who we're going to serve. Now therefore, send and gather to me all of Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which ate at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered them the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long in America are we going to go with two opinions? Oh, we believe in God, but we don't want to mention Jesus because He offends people. He offends people because He's the only way to get to heaven. He is the only one that has paid the sin debt that makes a way that I can go there. I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. And that's why the name of Jesus offends so many people. They have to humble themselves down and to surrender to God. They have to surrender through His Son. They have to go by His way, not our way. We can't change it and make it better. God's provided the only way, and His name's Jesus, to get to go to heaven. But how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. He posed them a question they didn't have an answer for. When you ask most people why is America in the shape it's in, most people blame one party or another. Let me tell you who it is, why we're in the shape we're in, because we left God. The parties have left God. People have left God. We've left God. We've turned to our own devices, our own way of thinking. We've left the right out and we've went our own way and said this has got to be good and acceptable because society is changing. Friend, God hasn't changed since He spoke the first words whenever He created the heavens and the earth. When the earth was without form and void, and He said, let there be light, and there was light. From then to now, God's not changed one iota. He's still the same God. Things are still right or right. Things that are still wrong, still wrong. You know, I don't have to know how gravity works not to appreciate it. Because without it, we'd be floating away. Now, when I get on them scales, I don't appreciate it. But I don't have to understand it to be able to appreciate it, because I like being able to walk upright. I like being able to get around and be able to hold me on this planet. But I thank God that He loves us still. But we need to return to God. He's waiting. He's wanting to lead us as a nation back to the greatness that America was once known for, that all the other countries hate us for. Because we have a God that loves us and gives to His nation, that follows Him abundantly and above, and liberties to be able to go out here and buy a car if you want to, and not wait in line for a government drawdown that you'd be able to buy that car. Not having to stand in line for toilet paper that they pass out and ration. Not have to go and all these other things that other countries have to do. People starving to death because they don't have food, because they don't follow God and worship some false god and wonder why they don't have. Why doesn't their God provide? Because He don't exist. That's why, but our God does. But we need to choose today. How long are we going to halt between two opinions? Then said Elijah unto the people, I even I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Balaam's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put on fire, put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. Now we see here that Elijah's issuing his challenges to the prophets of Baal and to the prophets of the groves, to be able to see whose God's going to answer. Whose God's going to answer? What is the first thing we do whenever there's tragedy and things? Oh, people go to praying. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. When there's some bad things going on, we need to pray. But listen, don't wait for the bad times to hit before you start praying. Pray in the good times too. Remember to thank Him. Remember to be able to get in contact with God. You don't want a line that ain't been used in a long time. It might have a broken connection because of your lack of faith, because your lack of talking with God. Keep that thing, keep it warmed up. You've got a direct line to Him if you're saved. You've got a direct line to the throne room of God called prayer. Listen, how many of you be lost without your telephone today? Your cell phone, your smartphone. Boy, I tell you one thing, they took a survey and people said that one thing they couldn't live without today is their smartphone. Them things everywhere. And I like mine, don't get me wrong, I like mine too. But boy, we've got hooked on those things. Hooked on people texting each other in the house. One sitting in the recliner, one sitting in the chair. Yeah, and you know, I used to think LOL meant look out, loser. Somebody thought it meant lots of love. And all these things, boy, we've got hooked on that. But how long have we lived without God? How long are we going to put Him on the back burner? How long are we going to walk away from Him? Listen, He's a lot better than a smartphone. I can't live without God. I can't walk without Him. He gives me the breath of the morning. He gives me the ability to get out of the bed. He goes with me everywhere. And He blesses me beyond measure, more than I could ever do to repay Him. But here we see Elijah issuing his challenge. And I want to challenge us that we choose to serve God in a greater way every day of our life, me included. I don't point and ask you to do something I'm not willing to do myself. God wants us all to be standing on the front lines for Him. Standing together, united, one church under God, and under God's authority and under God's leadership. But now we see here as Elijah's issues, his challenge, they're going to accept it. We see here in verse 24, he goes on with his challenge. He says, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let Him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. It is well spoken. They were going to see something here going to take place and going to happen. They said, that sounds like a pretty good idea. That sounds just fair enough. Let's see what happens. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. See, he was being polite about the thing. He said, you fellas go ahead, choose whichever one you want, do your thing and lay it in order, but don't put no fire under. You all just go right ahead. I'll let you go first. He was being a gentleman about it. Let's see what your God can do. And if you notice how it's spelt in your Bibles, their gods were spelt with a little g. Elijah's God is spelt with a big G, because he is the only God. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until the noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. You know why he didn't hear, and he didn't answer, and he didn't do anything, and they had called on him all this time? Because he wasn't there. They couldn't reach somebody who don't exist. You can't call on an entity that is not real and it be able to perform any kind of miracle. There's only one God. Now we make many gods, but they have no power. We idolize many things, but they have nothing they can truly do for us because they have no life in them. God was the only one that could put life in the first animals that were created. He gave them life. As we're talking about during the creation that we're talking about on Wednesday night, you take a frog and you cut it into a number of pieces and you stick it back together. Though it is back together the way that it originally was, there's still no life in it once you've cut it apart. Only God can put it back, even though the pieces seem to be in the right places. Unless there's life there, there's nothing. But they called on Baal from nine until the noontime. And they even leapt upon the altar which was made. They were getting carried away. They were dancing, they were chanting, they were calling on Baal. They wanted to see something happen. They were sold out. They believed truly in the doctrines that they were teaching. So was Jezebel. And it says, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or preadventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. Now I want to tell you something. I don't care what matter, what time of night it is, what situation I'm in. When I call on God, I know he's there to answer. I don't have to wonder if he's going to hear it. And the reason I don't have to wonder is I try to stay prayed up. I try to ask God to forgive me of any wrongdoings that I might have done, whether they were intentionally or whether they weren't. You say, oh, preacher, might have done something intentionally? We're all human, are we not? Do we not all get angry? It says get angry and sin not. But we all have things we have to ask God daily to forgive us for. Preachers included, I'm not perfect, just forgiven. If I was perfect, God would have no need of me being here. But his son was perfect and he had a need for him to be here. And he came and he walked among men that he knew that he could take on the sins of the world on his shoulders that day going to Calvary that I couldn't do. I couldn't carry that burden. You couldn't carry that burden, but Jesus could. But we see here he told him to cry louder. Maybe he needed to be woke up. Maybe he was on a journey. Maybe he was talking. I'm glad that God's not too busy. When you're praying and I'm praying, God hears us both and can answer. Just imagine the number of people across the world that say they're saved and pray to the God that we serve. But nobody gets a busy signal. That's a great God. And not only that, he knows the stars by name because he put them there. Alpha Centauri, the closest star to where we're at, 20 trillion miles. You don't think our universe is big, what God has provided? And he humbles himself down to look at us. And his greatness in the great place that he is in today above the third, in the third heaven, above the second heaven, which is where the moon and stars are. And he hears us. It says, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. They wasn't getting in contact because he wasn't there. It's kind of like talking to some people and trying to share with them the Word of God. They're listening, but they're not listening. They don't react because they don't know how to react to what it says. So they let it go in one ear and out the other, as we say, and feel if they don't know, then they're not responsible. We won't plead ignorance in front of God. It says, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me, and all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. To see, that's what's happening in America. The altar that was dedicated to the Lord has been broken down. We've let other gods come in and take his place. We've let them destroy the altars in America, that people are afraid to stand and worship God and say with a loud voice and to be bold in speaking his love, because we're afraid of offending someone, and his altar's been broken down. It's time to repair the altars of God across America and put him back in the place that he belongs, being first. Then Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, in whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. You see, he does this 3 times now. Elijah does. He says, fill 4 barrels and bring them and pour it on the sacrifice. We want to make sure that you know that this is a miracle from God. Now see, there's been a drought. It's not rain. Water was a precious commodity, no doubt, at this time. And here this man's asking, going to ask for 12 barrels total to pour upon the sacrifice? They had to think he lost his mind. You wanting to do what? Pour water on it? All right, we'll do it. There was probably some of them wanting to see the show, so they was running, filling the barrels as fast as they could and bringing them back to dump it on it. Well, now the ground, it's full of water. The sacrifice is fully soaked. The wood is fully soaked. There's no doubt it's not spontaneous combustion that's going to take place. He don't have a Zippo in his pocket and going to light it and throw it on the sacrifice and it's going to take off to burning. He didn't have no gasoline. Don't use that to start fires with, by the way. Just going to get that in our safety reminder. He didn't have any of those things that we have today. But he had a God that could. And he knew that he could. And he asked him to do it a second time. He asked him to do it a third time until the water run about the altar and filled the trench also with water. Verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah, the prophet, came near and said, this is a 63-word prayer, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. He is the God. Do we think today, if we got out here and laid up an old altar as it was given to us in the Old Testament that they sacrificed on, and we laid a bullock cut in pieces for sacrifice, and we covered it in water and prayed and fire fell from heaven and consumed it, would people believe and follow God? No, they still wouldn't, because we have the record today. And still people are saying that didn't happen. That's just a story. Well, my friend, that happened just as good as I'm standing here today. This took place. And the fire of God fell, and it didn't just consume the sacrifice. It consumed the wood. It consumed the stones. It licked up the dust. It consumed the water round about in the trench, because God don't do anything halfway. He does it completely. And he'll do it today for America. But today, we must choose whom we're going to serve. I thank God that we still serve God at New Hope Church. And we want Him first, and we want Him to be pleased in all things that we do. And we need to continue with that mindset that we choose God. No matter how many people may say, oh, that's too old-fashioned just to believe God at His Word, let me tell you, I want to be old-fashioned then if that's old-fashioned. I think it's being wise and prudent to just take God at His Word. With His wisdom that He gives us, then we will be able to do great things because of God's wisdom, because of God's righteousness and not Brad's. I have no righteousness except that God has given me through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm cleansed and made free by Him. I've chose to serve Him. And thank God He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds. He did. Choose today whom you'll serve. Church, if we want a great vacation Bible school, we want a great revival coming up this fall, we want a great homecoming, we want to see God's Spirit poured out on our church, then let's follow Him even more today than we did yesterday and more tomorrow than we do today. Make it a goal that every day when you wake up, we choose to serve Him more today. That we choose to get closer and not start our day without Him. But that we include Him in our day, in our walk. He's walking with us. But it's better to have that conversation as you walk along. As we walk along together, that we can have a conversation with our God. After this takes place, we see that Elijah takes those prophets down and slays them by the brook of Kishon. And Elijah says to Ahab, get thee up, meat and drink. And this is verse 41, for the sound of an abundance of rain. We know that Elijah went and prayed. And he prayed and he kept looking and asking his servant, says, what do you see? What do you see? Prayed several times, and he says, wait a minute, said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. He says, we got to get to cover, boy. It's going to rain. And he outrun the chariots of Ahab back to the place, and the rains returned. We can have the same thing in America, the rains of blessings that God can pour out upon us. I told Sandra the other week, I said, I've been praying for rain and praying for rain because the garden's getting dry. And I said, I ain't even put out my rain gauge yet. I said, that's unbelief. To even know how much God has given us. So I went and hunted up that rain gauge. It rained the next day. You saying it rained because I put it out? No, but I'd made preparation. I'd asked God, and I was ready to receive it. I chose to trust God, and He had delivered. Are we choosing God that He will deliver? I thank God that we seem to be serving Him every way that we can. But there's always room for improvement. No matter how close we get, we can get closer. We can get closer. We want the greatness to return to America. Let's get closer to God. As we stand to our feet, as we start our invitation this morning, if you're here and you don't know Him in the free pardon of sin, the same God that answered Elijah's prayers, He spoke to God that He might show Israel that there was a God in Israel. He's still here today. Jesus Christ's salvation is still free to those that will receive it. If He's knocking at your heart's door and it feels like your heart's about to jump out of your chest and it's up in your throat and it's getting in around your Adam's apple and you feel like you're going to choke to death, that's the convicting power of God. God loves you if He's doing that and squeezing on your old heart. He's wanting to save you. He's knocking and saying, open the door and I'll come in and I'll make my home there with you. And I'll be your God and you'll be my child. Friend, I don't know any better relationship there is than to be a child of the King. Do you know Him this morning as your Savior, or are you lost? If you're lost, would you raise your hand and say, preacher, I need to be saved. I need this Jesus that you're talking about. I feel Him knocking at my heart and I know I need Him. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? It won't save you, but it'll be the first step of admitting that you know what the convicting power of God feels like and that you know that you need Jesus. And friend, I'll pray for you. There'll be one anywhere. Christian, maybe you got a need this morning. I don't have to name it for you to come to the altar and pray about it. Just come. It's open. It never closes. Anytime you feel that you need to pray, come to the altar. This is where God's children need to come and do business with God. Will you step out and come? Some have already came. God's dealing with your heart. Please come. Please come. Others are still stepping out and coming. We'll wait upon you. If I see a movement, I'll wait till you get here. Will you come? Will you come? You may be seated where you are. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that we have a choice to make. And God, we thank you that you give us that opportunity to choose you. And dear God, we know that there is no other God in which to serve. We thank you for the salvation that you've given us through Jesus Christ, your Son, through his precious blood that was shed on Calvary. We thank you for showing us through your word, your power and authority, that even the elements obey your voice. And dear God, we thank you for that great power that we still have today, that if by faith believing, dear Heavenly Father, a miracle like this needed to take place again, God, that your power is still that great. But dear God, we thank you for your precious word, that we don't have to have it happen again to believe it. God, that through faith we know that you are the creator of this universe and that you love us a great deal, that you take the time to humble yourself from your throne and look upon this little earth that we live upon and see your people. And God, we thank you and we praise you that you have given us this land and country. We thank you for our men and women in our armed services, past, present, and future, that have provided protection, have provided deliverance. Some gave their very ultimate sacrifice of their life. Some with scars that last throughout the years of things that took place. And God, I pray that you would touch their hearts, give them strength. And dear Heavenly Father, may we honor these men and women who have served. Dear God, that have given us these liberties. But most of all, God, that we give you thanks. Thanks for your love and your graciousness to us in America. And God, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.